Welcome to the program In Persona Christi. Please join Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz of the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, as he discusses the life and spirituality of a priest. Now, here is Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz.
Let us pray in the words of St. John Fisher. O Lord, according to your promise that the gospel should be preached throughout the whole world, raise up men fit for such work. The apostles were but soft and yielding clay until they were baked hard by the fire of the Holy Spirit. So, good Lord, do now in like manner again with thy church militant. Change and make the soft and slippery earth into hard stones. Set in thy church strong and mighty pillars that may suffer and endure great labors, such as watching, poverty, thirst, hunger, cold and heat. And who shall not fear the threatening of princes, persecution, neither death, but always persuade and think with themselves to suffer with a good will, slander, shame, and all kinds of torments, for the glory and laud of thy holy name. By this manner, good Lord, the truth of thy gospel shall be preached throughout the world. Therefore, merciful Lord, exercise thy ministry, show it indeed upon thy church. Amen. Let us once again pose the leitmotif question, guiding in a certain sense the entirety of this series of conferences. The great rhetorical question of Jesus recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke. When the Son of Man comes again, will he find any faith on the earth? We have been putting under the umbrella of this larger question some sub-questions to give us a sort of launching pad into each conference. For this conference, let us use the words of St. Elizabeth in the Gospel according to St. Luke, a question addressed to the mother of our Savior. How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Jesus, who of course comes to us as God's gift of love, comes in a special way, comes in, through, and with the gift of the most precious and most beautiful creature God made, gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, the only melody that fell from the violin of God's creation without breaking a string. We remember Wordsworth's beautiful words in her regard, though he wasn't a Catholic, our tainted nature's solitary boast. In talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary, we especially must look at her relationship to those of us who are priests, since she is the mother of the one and only priest, the high priest, the unique mediator of the New Testament. Cardinal Frings, now deceased, who was the Archbishop of Cologne, said very beautifully, "Whoever enters into a specially close relationship to Christ, thereby also enters upon a specially close relationship to his Mother Mary." The words which our dying Divine Savior spoke from the cross, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother," were addressed directly to a priest of the Catholic Church, to the Apostle John, and in and through him, they apply in the first place to all priests of our Lord Jesus Christ. This indicates, the Cardinal goes on, no doubt the special kind of devotion to Mary that should characterize us priests. We should be consciously aware of being in the service of Mary, of being privileged to help her realize, in fact, her role of motherhood over the mystical body of our Lord. And thus we are and will remain most intimately united to Mary. We are sons, she is the mother of the entire mystical body of the Lord. Mary, in her marvelous vocation, gives us inspiration for ours. She is, above all, the perfect archetype, the model of the Catholic Church. It is in this role that she is not only the first and preeminent member of the Church, but also the Church's mother. Just as she is the spouse of God as well as his mother. We know that saints in olden times have told us she conceived in her heart before she conceived in her womb. We too must learn this lesson from Mary, to first take Christ deeply into our consciousness, into our very lives, so that our fiber becomes his. And then, like Mary, we'll be able to give him to others. Many have spoken far more eloquently of Mary than I could ever do. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said very beautifully that Mary herself was the first missionary of charity, someone sent to bring God's love to others. And a missionary of charity does this through acts of charity, like the loving and humble services Mary offered Elizabeth. And then Mother Teresa goes on. This is what a priest must be doing all the time. Through their love, they must bring Jesus into the lives of others. Mary could give Jesus to others because she had him within her. You and I should be able to give him to others for the same reason, especially you priests. How holy and pure you must be in order to do this. How completely you must belong to Jesus in order to be able to carry him and give him to everyone you meet, to all who come to you with their broken hearts and the misery of their sins. After Jesus himself, you priests should be the first to recognize the evil of sin. Mother Teresa also said, we need Our Lady's example. She shows us how to love Jesus by serving others with a humility and love that bring him to them. So let us ask her to be our mother, protecting and staying close to us, especially in time of temptation. Let us ask her to keep us living only and always for Jesus. Let us ask her again and again to give us Jesus by giving us a place in her own heart, so beautiful, so pure, so humble, so immaculate. We priests, of course, have many reasons to have recourse to Mary, not the least of which is that she can teach us the great lesson of faith. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who trusted the word that God has given to her. We can learn from her humble resignation to God's will. We can learn from her that putting aside all clerical ambition, all desire for honors or particular places in the church, we can become great through service to others, through doing God's will. She who did the cleaning and the washing and the shopping and the cooking, she who did nothing that extraordinary, was the greatest of God's creatures, the most magnificent of those beings that he made, so that from her he might take the flesh that he was going to use to redeem us. All generations prepared the way to her, so that when God chose to come to us in human form, he came in and through this precious gift that he made for himself, but also made for us. Mary carries within her Christ, especially those 9 months when she was pregnant with him. How important she was in those moments, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, carrying Christ within her. And that is particularly what the church is. This mother of ours, this virgin mother, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and carrying Christ. And we, as those who represent Christ, must understand how we are the ones to provide him with hands to touch and heal, eyes to look with compassion, feet to carry the good news, and most of all, a heart with which to love, remembering that beneath her immaculate heart, his sacred heart was formed. We can learn from Mary how to accept joy and happiness, but also how to accept sorrow and difficulty, pain and suffering in our life. We can learn from her how following Christ will lead inevitably to the cross, but then through that cross to glory and victory and resurrection. She has been taken, body and soul, up into that marvelous vision of God that is our destiny. And Jesus, who is the head of the mystical body, is where that body is destined to be. And she is the first and most prominent, most eminent member of that body, there with him. She is the Theotokos. She is the God-bearer. She is the one who is, for all of us, our marvelous and splendid help, the help of Christians, the Tower of Ivory, the Tower of David, the mystical rose that enhances with the perfume of her intercessory prayer, even now, this valley of tears, giving us in that perfume a foretaste of what awaits us in another and a better world. Our Holy Father talks about the Blessed Virgin Mary often. In the 1980s, he gave a beautiful series of talks at his Wednesday audiences for priests, one of which he dedicated completely to considering the relationship of the priests linked to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, as Mary first shared spiritually in her son's sacrifice, she can obtain for his ministers the graces they need to respond fully to their vocation. The biographies of saintly priests always document the great role that they attributed in their spiritual life to Mary. This corresponds, of course, to the lived lives of many of us who know that without the prayers, the intercession, the guidance, the love of the mother of the high priest, we could not adequately function as priests. The Pope says Mary's relationship to the priesthood derives primarily from the fact of her motherhood. Becoming the mother of Christ by her consent to the angel's message, Mary became the mother of a high priest. This is an objective reality. By assuming a human nature in the Incarnation, the eternal Son of God fulfilled the necessary condition for becoming the one priest of humanity through his death and resurrection. We can marvel at the perfect correspondence between Mary and her Son at the moment of the Incarnation. How important it is, then, for those who are priests to remember always their special link with Mary, the numerous lessons that she can provide, and, most of all, the intercessory help she can give. Mary can help us not only in the faith and the example that she gives us in that faith, but also in purity. She is the Virgin most pure, the Mother most chaste. She is the one who can give us in our prayer life a deep and profound appreciation of consecrated virginity, of dedicated celibacy. She is the one who can teach us those things which are dangers to this gift. She's the one who can teach us to love and to appreciate what God has given us in this special way of being able to provide Him with the service of an undivided heart. Because she is virgin and mother, she can give to all of humanity a deep appreciation of the mystery of human reproduction and how proper and correct moral teaching in this regard can fit in to a life that is fulfilled and joyous, a life that provides for others, that sublimates basic and normal instinctive human instincts into something beautiful and splendid. The great saints have often talked about the Blessed Virgin Mary, and their words say more than we can about her. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said, "She, Mary, is my greatest security, the source of all my hope." He also said, "I am satisfied that whoever has had recourse to Mary in his wants can remember that he never did so in vain, and he should always speak in praise of her mercy." Jesus Christ, St. Alphonsus Liguori said, is the only mediator of justice, and by his merits he obtains for us all graces and salvation. But Mary is the means by which we are provided with this grace, because she prays for it and asks for it in the name of Jesus Christ. I recall one time Fulton Sheen on the Catholic Hour asking if any Gold Star mother whose son had sacrificed his life for the safety and the freedom of our country felt that the honor paid to her subtracted in the slightest from the honor paid to her son. Of course not. In honoring the mother, we intend to honor the heroic son. And so too Mary takes nothing away from Christ, but points always and only to him. She herself called God her Savior, and she was saved. Her salvation, of course, came in anticipation, different from other members of the human race, but nonetheless, true salvation. Salvation in and through the only source of salvation, her divine Son, and the merits of the cross by which he won redemption for the human race. Mary was indeed saved and redeemed, but in a very special kind of way that enabled her to be preserved from the first moment of her conception from every stain of original sin, enabling her also to give to God for his purposes as an instrument of our redemption, flesh that was totally unsullied and untouched by the evil of sin. We know that Mary represents in a real way the opposite of Eve. There, at the foot of the cross on Mount Calvary, was the exact reverse of the catastrophe and the primeval disaster that marked the beginning of humanity. There in the Garden of Eden long ago, there was a tree, and there was a man who was the head of the human race, and there was a woman, and there was disobedience. But on Mount Calvary, just the reverse. There was another tree called the cross, and there was another man, the new head of the human race, the new Adam, and there was obedience. But for our purposes, we should remember there was also a woman, a new Eve, who participated in the oblation and the sacrifice, in the redeeming act of Christ. And Mary teaches us in this way that we too can be participants in this redemption, in this act of Christ that saved humanity, in this startling reversal of the catastrophe of paradise, making it possible once again to open the doors of a new and better paradise, a paradise in heaven. Saint Bernard said, God wills that we should have nothing that has not passed through the hands of Mary. This is because she had him, as the poet says, as her little boy, the lovely lady dressed in blue that can teach us how to pray. Holding him on her lap, she was able to look into those eyes which saw and knew everything. Those eyes which even now guard and guide all of the universe and countless other universes. St. Bernardine of Siena said, all the gifts, virtues, and graces of the Holy Spirit are distributed by Mary to whom she wishes, when she wishes, the way she wishes, and as much as she wishes. It's important that all of us also keep in mind what St. Alphonsus said so eloquently. We are exceedingly dear to Mary on account of the suffering we cost her. Mothers generally love those children most, the preservation of whose lives have cost them the most suffering. We are those children for whom Mary, in order to obtain for us the life of grace, was obliged to endure the bitter agony of herself, offering her beloved Jesus to die before her own eyes of the most cruel torments. Mary gave us, of course, as Archbishop Sheen and so many authors have told us, the most beautiful valedictory we can imagine. The last words of Mary recorded in sacred scripture are in the Gospel according to St. John, when at the wedding feast at Cana, she told the servants, do whatever he tells you. No one can love Mary without loving Christ. No one can be devoted to her without being turned by her toward Christ. She subtracts nothing from his glory and his splendor. The moon is just a burnt-out cinder circling around the earth. It would have no light and heat were it not from the sun. Likewise, Mary derives all her greatness, all her splendor, all her glory from the Christ who was her little child. Truly, we must be people who love and who revere the Blessed Virgin Mary. And most especially those who are priests must find in Mary a model and also an inspiration. Those of us who are celibate, those of us who have given ourselves totally and completely with an undivided heart to the service of God and his people need in our lives especially a feminine component. And Mary provides this. She provides that wonderful aspect of humanity without which a human male cannot be completed and fulfilled. She provides for those who are priests those kinds of satisfactions of feminine love and gentility, of that kind of wisdom and that kind of devotion that can come from the gentle gender of the human race. Each of us should try to take to heart that Mary is, for all of Christians, but especially for priests, a precious and wonderful gift given to us by God. Saint Theophilus said, the prayers of God's mother are a pleasure to the Son, because he desires all that is granted on her account. and thus recompense her for the favor she did in giving him his body. St. Peter Julian Aimard said, "In our life, if it were not under Mary's protection, we would tremble for our perseverance and our salvation." There is an old adage, "The child of Mary is never lost." This, of course, like wearing a scapular, should be a source of inspiration for us, but never a source of presumption, nor should it be an object or an idea of superstition. But rather, clinging to Mary, we should have the great satisfaction that she will see to it that we are always near her divine Son. St. Peter Chrysologus, in the 5th century, said, "A gentle maiden, having lodged a god in her womb, asks as its price peace for the world, salvation for those who are lost, and life for all who are dead." Pope St. Pius X said, "Let the storm rage and the sky darken. Not for that shall we be dismayed. If we trust as we should in Mary, we shall recognize in her the Virgin most powerful, who with her virginal foot crushed the head of the serpent." In the 1980s, Cardinal James Hickey, presently the Archbishop of Washington, was the retreat master for our Holy Father's Lenten retreat. He entitled his conferences, "Mary at the Foot of the Cross." It's exceptionally beautiful, these series of conferences. And also, we have the joy of having them published in a book so that we can read the marvelous exposition of her humility, her faith, her purity, and her special protection for the Church of God, of which she is declared by Pope Paul VI in a public and specially solemn way, its mother. We should think often of Mary at the foot of the cross, particularly we who are priests, because it is at the foot of the cross that her self-giving was totally consummated. It began, of course, when she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me as you say." But it was completed only when the sacrifice was joined to the sacrifice of Christ. A priest friend of mine has written about this Mary at the foot of the cross. He has written about the Pietà, that splendid statue that we see so often reproduced, of the ever-young virgin holding in her lap the world's bread broken for us, the body, the beautiful body of her divine Son, mutilated, distorted now, torn and ripped, sacrificed for our happiness. Let us think about Mary then in his words. She rests her lips upon his brow, bloodied, battered, beaten now. She stoops to kiss his blood-seared eyes and utters then her psalm of sighs. "Son Jesus, with thee I have bled. Dead Jesus, with thee I am dead. Thou wert all of life to me. My life was only lived in thee. Now thou art dead, my heart is rent. Each bitter tear of grief is spent. My shattered soul is seared with pain. My anguished loss is mankind's gain. My sun is down, the day is done. The cross is bare, our fight is won. O earth, this is the end of strife. I give you love, I give you life. O lifeless world, as God it pleases, I give you now my Son, my Jesus." Mary can and will help us, especially those of us who are priests, to answer with our words, with our ministry, with our acts, and with the totality of our lives, that resounding rhetorical question of God come to earth. When the Son of Man comes again, will he find any faith on earth? Amen.
You have been listening to In Persona Christi, a retreat with Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz. Join us next week at the same time as Bishop Bruskowitz continues his discussion on the life and spirituality of a priest.